So about 10 years ago, I was on eBay and I bought this picture, a hand-drawn picture of Charlie Brown. And it said, this is probably by Charles M. Schultz, but it could be a copy. I haven't got any authentication. I bought it at an art fair. And I paid over 100 quid for it. It's not a massive amount for something like that. And I stuck it on my wall and I was really proud of this. And I thought, that's my picture by Charles M. Schultz. But the whole time I had it, there's this niggling feeling. I'm thinking, it's probably not by him. I got it for 100 quid. It's probably not. It's probably just a copy. Anyone can draw a picture like that. And I was thinking about it the other day. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to try and get it authenticated. So I emailed a place in California. It's the Snoopy Museum. And they said, send us some pictures of it and we can let you know. So I took 4 pictures of it, really close up, of certain details and of the whole thing, sent it through, and they emailed me back, said it probably is the real thing. Can you believe that? I'm so happy. Now, that has very little to do with Christmas, apart from, of course, a Charlie Brown Christmas special, which it's not really associated with that. And it also has nothing to do with the show, but I just wanted to tell someone, and I told you lot, run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. That's right, I'm Jack. You're you. We've met before, or not. I don't know how many times you've listened to this show, but here we are, you and I, listening to me talk. I hope you like it. Do you want to do the interactive bit? Okay, here we go. How are you? Good. The weather's picking up. The girls are well. Yeah, no, we're good. And what's that? Yeah? Okay, well, we'll start then. No, if you're going to be like that, we'll start the show. Okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have bored you with details of my family. Do you want me to tell you the story about my Charlie Brown picture? Nope. Okay, I won't. And scene. There we go, that was that. Right, well, I've got a packed show, probably. I don't know. I'm just at the start of it. I don't even know what's coming. This is exciting for me and you. All I know is I'm going to open my mouth. Sounds are going to come out. Those sounds are going to go into my computer. Then they're going to go somewhere else. And they're going to come out of your computer into your ears. That's how it works. So let's just do that thing, shall we? Sounds leave my mouth. Here they come. There's more coming. They're keeping coming. They're keeping coming. Oh my God, what kind of episode is this?
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, I'm starting a very short run of puppet-based versions of A Christmas Carol. And the first one is by Puppets by Arlie, and it's called Marionette Christmas Carol. So Puppets by Arlie, not Marley. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Like Jacob Marley. It's not that. So don't get your hopes up. It's Puppets by Arlie, and you could sort of say in between, because I do, you know, I say all the time in my podcast, and then I just cut them all out. So you could say Puppets by Arlie. That sounds a bit like Marley, so we've got that. Puppets by Arlie is run by a pretty young lady called Arlie Chadwick, and I had a look at her website, and she's a puppet designer and builder, and she's performed for kids all over the world, recently as a puppeteer for Off-Broadway's Very Hungry Caterpillar show, and she's also performed as Rose in That Golden Girls Show, which is a puppet parody of The Golden Girls. She's been in loads of other productions, things like Sesame Street Live and other Jim Henson productions. She's been a puppeteer for a very long time. She's got her own website, like I say, and she's got her own YouTube channel. Now, her YouTube channel has got loads of videos on it. Most of them are about how to make puppets. So she's teaching people how to make their own marionettes and that sort of thing. But she's also got a few productions that she's put on herself, one of which is Marionette Christmas Carol. Now, it's only had 653 views. I've watched it 3 times, so it would have been 650. So I've really bumped the numbers up there. She put it on 2 years ago, so it's not been a massive hit. But interestingly, her videos teaching you how to make marionettes have had thousands and thousands of hits. So that's something. Anyway, I'll go straight into it. It starts with an opening narration. And here's the deal. I'll play a little bit of the opening narration for you.
To begin with, Jacob Marley had been dead for many years. Ebenezer Scrooge knew he was dead. Scrooge and Marley had been business partners. Ebenezer Scrooge, a hard old sinner. The cold within him froze his features, and he wouldn't warm up 1 degree. Not even at Christmas.
Now this is one of those where they stick very closely to the source text, but they tweak it for no good reason. So, as you heard there, it's very close to the original text, but it's not quite the original text. I don't know why they've done that. There you go. And we open in Scrooge's counting house, and you've got Scrooge stood there, and you've got Bob Cratchit at his desk. It's all done on green screen. So you've got a background that I guess Arlie has made and taken pictures of, and then she must have filmed the puppets on green screen and then edited out all their strings. So you can see the strings if they're actually in front of the puppet itself, but there's no strings coming above the puppet. So in comes Fred, and Fred has got his top hat on, and it's sort of balanced on top of his head. It's not a good fit, Fred. To be honest, you should have gone back to the milliners. Did you know that, kids? Milliner is the name for a hat maker. You should have gone back to your milliners and asked them to make a bigger size. Now, interestingly, Bob Cratchit's oldest daughter, Martha, she worked for a milliner. So Bob could have said, look, Fred, I could get my daughter to get you a better hat than that one. He didn't. He missed an opportunity. And Fred comes in, and like the narration, the text is similar to their conversation in the book, but not quite the same. And at this point, I've got to talk about the puppets. Now, the puppets are decent. They look like marionettes, which is what they are. But all of them have got very long fingers, and all look like they're all sort of twisted a little bit. So they look like they've got really bad arthritis. Or actually, it made me think of one of the X-Men, Lady Deathstrike. I don't know if you're familiar with Lady Deathstrike. She was a bit like a female version of Wolverine. She had these really long adamantium claws, but they were sort of a bit curved. And I don't know how she could hold a pen with those things. But anyway, that's what they look like. So there's a bit of a downside on the puppets, really. But there you go. Fred leaves. And we don't get any portly gentlemen. We just get Scrooge saying to Bob, oh, I expect you want the day off. So then Scrooge walks home, and his hat is even worse than Fred's. It is actually like balanced on top of his head. It's like he's not wearing a hat. It's like when you see those ladies carrying a water jug on their head. It looks like that. That's what his hat looks like. It's literally sat on it. And again, Bob missed a golden opportunity to get some work for his daughter. That's why he's only on 15 shillings a week. He hasn't got that business mind, has he, old Bob Cratchit? Anyway, this is interesting the way they've done this. So as Scrooge is walking up the street, obviously I think the camera is panning back, moving back, and it makes it look like Scrooge is getting smaller as he's walking away from the camera. They did quite a decent job with that. And then he's in his bedroom, and who should turn up? But of course, Jacob Marley. So there's no face in the door knocker, none of that stuff. It's literally straight in his bedroom. And Jacob Marley comes in, and he's talking to Scrooge. And as he's talking to him, his head starts floating directly up above his body, off from his body. Just his head. And then it goes back down again. And he's like, you don't believe me, do you? And Scrooge's like, no, I don't. And he's like, and then his arms and his legs will start coming off as well. And they're all floating across the room. And he's like, right, do you believe in me now? And Scrooge is like, yes, I do. So that's all you got to do, kids. If you want someone to believe in you, just make your arms and legs disappear or float off and then come back again. And that should do the trick. Then he carries on talking. And while he's talking, his head does float up again. Then just before he leaves, his arms and his legs go. Very interesting effect. I kind of liked it, but I found it very interesting. And then it says, Scrooge climbed into bed. Well, he didn't climb into bed. It just cuts. It's a very short cut where 1 minute he's sat on the bed, next minute he's just laying on top of the bed, just like someone's cut his strings and he's just flat on the bed. In comes the Ghost of Christmas Past. Now, I've got to say, I like Arlie's take on the ghost. It's got like a kind of, it's hard to explain. The very long white hair, the whole thing's completely white, and it's got like a robe on, and the face sort of looks like it could be an older or it could be a younger person. I like that. That's kind of like what it says in the books. They've done a good job there. They go flying off into the past, and really it just sort of looks like they're hanging in midair a little bit. It's not awful, it's a little bit like that. And they go and see little Scrooge at school, and we hear this.
Ebenezer Scrooge, do you know that boy? Yes, I do. It is I as a boy. Oh, I remember that Christmas well. Oh, I felt so lonely. My playmates, they didn't like me.
It was because you had shunned them.
Oh, poor boy.
And I thought, well, that's not really what it's going for in the book. So they came at it from a different angle, trying to make it look like he'd shunned people already in his life, which wasn't really the case in the book. But, you know, that's what they decided to do. When we see little Scrooge, Scrooge and the ghost are outside the building, like floating in the air, and we can see the whole building, and just in one window you can see little Scrooge. Pretty much what they've done is they've just changed the colour of the hair on the Scrooge puppet. So it's the same puppet, but it's just smaller on the screen. They've not made it smaller, and with yellow hair instead of white hair. Then we cut straight to Scrooge getting dumped, and again it's that puppet when he was little, but it's just bigger on the screen. And he stood there, and we see the back of his girlfriend. Now, we don't hear anything being said between Scrooge and his girlfriend, but we do see that he's got his hat balanced on top of his head again. Yep, should have gone to the milliner. We don't hear anything is said, but the voiceover from the ghost is like, oh, she left you because you're only interested in money. And then Belle, or his girlfriend, we don't know her name, gets up and walks off. And then Scrooge goes back to his bedroom. So we only get those two scenes. There's no Fezziwig bit at all. And I guess that's because to do a scene like Fezziwig's, you'd need loads of extra puppets. And I guess that'd be a lot of extra work for just a small video like this one. So, the Ghost of Christmas Present turns up, and she's done a really good job with the Ghost of Christmas Present. He's got a red robe. Now, in the book, it does say that it's a green robe, but I'll forgive that because it's Christmas, a time for forgiveness. But generally, he looks really good. They go to the Cratchit's house. So Mum is sat there. Hang on a minute! Mrs. Cratchit is the same girl that Scrooge was talking to in the previous scene. Hold your horses, kids. It turns out, all this time, we didn't realise this, Cratchit went off and married Scrooge's girlfriend. Maybe that's why he treats Cratchit so badly. And I'm not kidding, kids. She's wearing the same dress as well. Everything about her is identical. There was no attempt made to suggest this is a different puppet. I'm wondering if that's why we didn't see her face of Belle in the previous scene. She's just got her back to us, and then she walks off. You just sort of see the side of her face. Now, I can tell you, kids, it is definitely the same puppet. So Scrooge would be, I'd be fuming. I was like, Cratchit married my old girlfriend. Who does he think he is? I'm furious. And here's the other thing. Scrooge, he's aged. He has completely aged since then. He had perfectly yellow blonde hair. Now, he's completely white. Wow, his old girlfriend, she's kept her looks. Yeah, which makes you think, is she a bit old for Bob Cratchit? I don't know. Interesting choice there. Just change the wig, or change the dress, or change something. But they didn't. Admittedly, I only caught that on the third viewing, which is interesting. But yeah, there you go. There's Cratchit's missus, or Scrooge's ex, is just sat there at the table, and it's laden with food. And then in comes Bob, and it's funny because Bob comes in, it's sort of like, he doesn't sit down on a chair, but it does sort of like plonk, like he's sort of sitting because he's behind the table, but there's no chair there. And he sort of plonks down, and then little tiny Tim comes and sits down in his chair. And Scrooge and the ghost are outside the window, and Scrooge is going, that's my ex-girlfriend! What's he doing with my ex-girlfriend? Is he married to my ex-girlfriend? I can't believe that! Ah! He's running around with my cast-offs. Who does he think he is? That's not actually what they discuss, really. There's similar dialogue to the book, and he says, is Tiny Tim going to die? And of course, we know he is going to. So then it cuts back to the street, and the ghost is saying, yeah, I've got to go now, I'm off, all right. And Scrooge is like, okay, I'll see you later. I'll see you later on then. Something like that. Now, the whole screen behind Scrooge goes black, and then who should come floating down but a very tall Jawa from Star Wars. Now, if you remember, I think it was the start of last year, I did the Patrick Stewart version of A Christmas Carol, and they had a Jawa from Star Wars. If you don't remember what Jawas are, they're like the hooded figures. They're very short, hooded figures with glowing red eyes and nothing else. You can't see anything else in the, under their hoods. And they talk a bit like this. And this one is just like that. He's a hooded figure with glowing red eyes, but he's very, very skinny and tall. Now, in The Ghost of Christmas Present, we only had one scene, but in The Ghost of Christmas Future, we actually do get two. And the first one is the Cratchits, and Tiny Tim's absent, let's say, and Bob is talking about how he bumped into Fred, Scrooge's nephew, and how nice he was, and his wife, or Scrooge's ex, is saying, yeah, well, he's a lot nicer than his uncle. I should know, I dated him. that's it though, very short scene. And then we cut to two men in the street. Now, this is filmed, they're like white silhouettes on a black background of two puppets. The reason they've done it like that is because one of them is Scrooge, definitely. The other one is Nephew Fred, definitely. So that's the puppets they've used in silhouette. Now, obviously, they've changed the voices, but there is no doubt at all. At first glance, first time I saw it, it's like, well, that's Scrooge's puppet. Fred's one, I wasn't so sure, but it definitely ain't Cratchit. That's the only other male puppet in it, apart from a couple of the ghosts. So, yeah, they're talking. I'll play a little bit of what they say.
I don't know much about it. All I know is he's dead.
Oh, when did he die?
Last night, I believe.
What has he done with his money?
Haven't heard. Love no use for where he's going.
Oh, it's likely to be a cheap funeral.
Yeah, one of them sounds particularly delighted about the whole affair. And Scrooge is going, who was that poor man they were talking about? And this is, again, we're on the black background with just Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And this gravestone sort of floats down between them and it says Ebenezer Scrooge on it. It's like, oh no, it's me. I was the one that everyone hates. Oh, because I was a git. Oh. And then he gives his speech about how I will live in the past, the present and the future and all that stuff. And the background fades from black into being back in his bedroom. Then we see him looking out the window and he's shouting down to a boy in the street. Now, obviously, there's no Walker bit in this because we don't even see the little boy. We just hear his disembodied voice shouting back at him. And the narration tells us that Scrooge goes about the street wishing everyone a Merry Christmas with his hat sat on top of his head again. Not on his head properly, like you'd have a hat on your head. Like I was saying, perched on top of his head. It's almost like it's floating above his head. It's not floating, it is touching. But that's all. So then Scrooge turns up at the Cratchits with his turkey, which has got a bow on it for some reason. I don't know. And he gives him the turkey and he's like, how can I ever thank you? He's like, well, start by saying thank you for the turkey. And then he is next to Tim and he says this.
And Tiny Tim, I saw a friend in church this morning, a famous doctor. You and I are going to see him tomorrow, and he's going to be your friend too.
I thought that was really nice, actually. I like that little twist on it. It says, I saw a friend today. It's like, well, Scrooge, you ain't actually got any friends. Let's just say you saw a doctor that used to think you were a git, but now you're changing, he might start to like you. He didn't say that, but I like that. I just thought it was a nice way of going about it. And then we get the closing narration saying the usual stuff about how Scrooge was a lovely person. So the credits roll, and I'll mention the other people in it. So you've got two puppeteers. One is Arlie Chadwick, the one who made all the puppets, and the other is a chap called Michael Lester. And then the voices are by Arlie Chadwick, Michael Lester, a guy called Eric C. Bailey, and a guy called Tim Young. They're the ones that helped create it. If you want to watch it, just type in Marionette Christmas Carol in YouTube, and it'll pop up. It's 13 minutes long, and it's something. You know, it's all right. I enjoyed it. Just one last thing before I go. So I was on Arlie Chadwick's website. Like I mentioned earlier, Arlie is the one that created all these puppets. And there was a Tiny Tim puppet. Now, this wasn't the Tiny Tim puppet from the version I've just talked about. And it said, from Glob Lessons. So I looked this up, and there's a movie called Glob Lessons about, from what I could gather, a couple of people that are going to schools at Christmas doing a puppet show of A Christmas Carol, which I thought was a tiny bit meta. And she made the Tiny Tim puppet for that film. And I tried to find a place to watch that film because I thought I could even cover it on the show. Couldn't find it anywhere. No websites are streaming it. It's not on YouTube. I went on eBay to see if I could find a DVD of it. I went on Amazon. Nothing. Nowhere. So I don't know what happened to that movie. I'd be interested in seeing it. It came out in 2021. Apparently. Yeah. So anyway, that's this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. In the next episode, I'll be doing another puppet-based version. But now it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
When you have a tiki bar, you do realize one thing. The worst thing about some people is that when they're not drunk, they are sober. So finish the mince pie, grab a bottle of port. In the long-standing British tradition of telling holiday ghost stories, we are ready to turn out the lights. The setting is perfect to enjoy that classic English Christmas tale with its dark Yuletide mood. You know, the one involving terrible childhood memories and three haunting encounters. The common story of the unpleasant and bitter non-believer, all alone, who hates Christmas and must be converted. The character is then redeemed by the Christmas spirit, remember? And just when there is a hint of a happy ending, she gets abducted in a bag by a terrifying Santa Claus and driven off in a sleigh. Wait, you knew I was talking about the League of Gentlemen Christmas special, didn't you? It's the British comedy horror sitcom set in a fictional town in northern England. In this special, the miserable and mean vicar, Reverend Bernice Woodell, is haunted by a terrible childhood Christmas memory, and she has three late-night visitors appear to her at her church, each with their own chilling tales. This is probably going to be the most twisted story about a Scrooge-like character you're ever going to hear on Total Christmas. The vicar is forced to undergo a positive transformation, just like Scrooge. But then, the lesson about being nicer and more charitable is rejected when she is kidnapped. However, it does provide a "do you hear what I hear" moment with the term knackers. So, knackered is a common term used in the UK, but it is unheard of in the US. It means worn out or exhausted, but it can also mean an insurmountable problem or when something is damaged or destroyed. A knacker was originally a saddle maker for horses in medieval times. Then the term started to be used for anyone who assisted with the care and keeping of horses, including the man who put down the worn out ones. The knacker's yard was where you took an old or sick horse to have it slaughtered. Thus, knackered was a way to express when you felt like an animal that was headed to the knacker's yard. Which brings us back to our show. When the term knackers is used in the League of Gentlemen Christmas special, it is not to mean dog tired, but instead to indicate, monkey nuts. You see, by the early 19th century, the knacker man had another job, gelding the stallions who were not destined to breed. So the word knacker was also used to indicate castration. So when the veterinarian, Dr. Chinnery, is relating his problem to Vicar Woodall in the Christmas special, he describes how his ancestor was unwittingly cursed by a Maharaja after he accidentally touches the king's pet monkey's knackers, or testicles. We've covered a lot of interesting ground here, and I could keep going, but I am feeling a bit knackered. Cheers and happy Christmas.
He's done it again. He's done it again. He's taught me something incredible. I use the term knackered frequently. We also say cream crackered, which is Ryman slang for knackered. And I've also used the term me old knackers, referring to a special part of my body. I did not know that they both came from the same place. I was familiar with the term knacker's yard, but I certainly didn't know that that's why we called our knackers. So fantastic work, Bob, as ever. He'll be back again in a bit, but right now, I'm doing this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Okay, boys and girls, it's that part of the show that you've all been waiting for. It's the quiz! Question number... I'm just going to get straight into it. Did you notice that? Do you know what? I could have almost got straight into it, but now I'm telling you, I'm just going to get straight into it. I shouldn't even be saying this bit now. I should have just got straight into it. Turns out I'm not getting straight into it. I'm faffing around when I should be getting straight into it. I'm getting straight into it. Question number one. Who had the 1990 Christmas number one single in the UK with the song Saviour's Day? Whom, I ask you? Whom? Question number two. Released 3 months after his death in 2014, which black comedy film tagline, "Spend it with the ones you loathe," stars Robin Williams as Mitch Mitchler? What's the name of that film? Question number three. In what Asian language is Merry Christmasu the Christmas greeting? Okay, Merry. They've written it with two I's, the Merry bit. So it's M-E-R-I-I. Kurusumasu, the Christmas greeting. Easy one. Actually, there's a couple there you should have got. The first one and the third one you should have got if you listen to every episode of my show avidly. If you don't listen avidly, well, you might not know them. Question number four. What question is asked in the first line of Slade's song, Merry Christmas, Everybody? Now, you're there thinking, oh, that's just another British song. Yeah, it is. But me and Adam talk about it very briefly later on in the show, and I think it has almost made it to other countries. I think in Australia I heard it a few times when I was over there at Christmas. So some of you might get it. Some of you, have a guess. Have a guess. If you don't know, it's so easy you could guess it even if you never heard the song. It's not easy at all. You won't get it. Question number something. There have been over 70 television and film adaptations of which 1843 novel? Now, this book came out in 2022, and since it came out, another 500 versions have come out of which 1843 novel? Question something something. Which former member of One Direction failed to hit the top 40 singles chart in 2019 with his song All I Want for Christmas? Now, that is not a cover of Mariah Carey's song All I Want for Christmas Is You, and the reason I added that is I haven't got a clue which one it is, but you've got a 1 in 5 chance, haven't you? Yeah, so, next one. In which 1990 film are burglars Harry and Marv known as the Wet Bandits? That's the easy one, isn't it? There you go, see? I chuck in the odd little one for you, give you a chance. Question number something. Jehovah's Witnesses do not celebrate Christmas. Is that true, or did I just make it up? Well, not me, did the book just make it up? Is that true, or did the book just make it up? Is it false, is what I'm saying? Question number nine. In which film does Bruce Willis say, I got invited to the Christmas party by mistake? All you got to do there is say, which Christmas film, Bruce Willis? That's a pretty easy one. And the final question, Beltsville, that's Beltsville, spelt B-E-L-T-S-V-I-L-L-E, is a breed of what? Tell me. Tell me, please. Okay, that's your 10 questions. Are you ready for your 10 answers? Question number one. Who had the 1990 Christmas number one single with the song Saviour's Day? I don't think I covered this on its own in an episode, but I definitely played it for Scott Newman on an episode where I played him Christmas British songs and he had to guess if he knew them or not. And that was Cliff Richard. That was his other big Christmas number one single after Mistletoe and Wine. Question number two. Released 3 months after his death in 2014, which black comedy film starred Robin Williams as Mitch Mitchler? That was Merry Friggin' Christmas. Now, I thought it was Merry Freaking Christmas, and I will let you have it if you said Merry Freaking Christmas, because that way I get a point. Question number three. In what Asian language is Merry Kurusumasu, the Christmas greeting? Now, I did cover Christmas in Japan. Yeah, there you go. It was Japanese. I did cover that in, I don't know, episode like three, four, five, around that area. It was a very long time ago when I was young and beautiful. I did cover that in an episode, so you might know that. Also, there's a podcast called Holly Jolly Xmasu, which covers Christmas Japanese music. If you haven't listened to it, go and check it out. Yeah. Okay, question number four. What question is in the first line of Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody? And that is, who had the 1990 Christmas number one single with the song Saviour's Day? Hang on, no, that's not the question. That was the first question of my quiz. That's got nothing to do with Slade's song. Sorry, mistakes were made. The correct answer is, are you hanging up your stockings on the wall? It's not how he sings it. He says, are you hanging up your stockings on the wall? Yeah, there you go. That was whatever. Question number something. There have been over 70 television and film adaptations of which 1843 novel? That is, of course, A Christmas Carol. Easy one for your kids. Okay, now it's a tricky one. And when I say tricky, I didn't get it. Which former member of One Direction failed to hit the top 40 singles chart in 2019 with his song All I Want in brackets for Christmas? Well, that was Liam Payne, and I guessed Louis Tomlinson. So, yeah, got that wrong, didn't I? Did you get it wrong as well? Are you proud like me? Question number something. Oh, easy one. In which 1990 film are burglars Harry and Marv known as the Wet Bandits? Well, that is, of course, Home Alone. Question number whatever. Jehovah's Witnesses, do they celebrate Christmas? Do they? Well, is it true that they don't celebrate it? Or is it false that they do celebrate it? No, that's wrong, isn't it? Is it false that they don't celebrate? The answer is true. They don't celebrate Christmas. Now, here's the thing. I have a friend who is a Jehovah's Witness. And I asked him a while ago, like, what he does Christmas Day. And he's like, well, sort of watch TV. It's like, well, hang on a minute. That's what we all do on Christmas Day. And it's like, the best stuff is on Christmas Day. You don't have turkey then? It's like, well, no, I suppose we just sort of don't. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. That's not quite what he said. It's not how it ended. Yeah, it sounds like he sort of did the same stuff as other people, but without the decorations or the same food. So it's not quite the same. I don't know. Question whatever. Number nine. We're near the end. In which Christmas film, Bruce Willis? Die Hard, isn't it? And the last one, I didn't get this one. Like, Beltsville is a breed of what? And I thought, oh, Christmas, animal, reindeer, of course. No, a reindeer is a breed of reindeer. What was I thinking? It's a turkey, kids. A turkey. A Beltsville turkey. I didn't get it. Ashamed of myself. So I scored. I still did all right. I'm proud of myself. I got 8. What did you get? Did you? Oh, well done. Good work. Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah. Well, there were some tricky ones, so good for you. Okay, so that's the end of the quiz. Thank goodness. Shall we do something else? Or should we just sit here in silence? We'll do something else. Okay, boys and girls, we're just going to get this over and done with, okay? We'll get it over and done with, and then we can move on to the next segment. No messing around. Here it comes. What did Santa call his reindeer that couldn't fly? Dinner. There we go, we did it. We've done it, it's over, we can move on. Thank you. So boys and girls, I got an email from a mate of mine. I say mate of mine, a listener, but I consider him a very close friend. We've never met, no idea what he looks like. His name's Ty Virgin, and he put in his email, right? My missus, since we started listening, has been adamant you and Bob were the same person, just putting on a voice. Until recently, where I showed her Bob's foreign film pod, and she finally realised you aren't the same person. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I sound nothing like my dear friend Lord Robert of Baker. I tell you what though, Bob, come here. That is a compliment, isn't it? Yeah? You like that, Bob? Yeah? You sound like me? Or I sound like you? You like that? What do you say?
Thanks, Jack. Today's Smile of Joy is brought to us from our listener, Timothy Lewis. He describes how after he was married, his wife started working for a community college located 4 hours away from both of their families. As a teacher, his wife Stacy enjoyed a Christmas break, but Tim worked retail and he did not have the time off. This meant that they couldn't travel home for the holidays. Since Stacy enjoyed baking, she would spend much of her time preparing items like cookies, chocolate-covered pretzels, Oreo balls, shortbread snowballs, and apple and pistachio breads. She enjoyed making these goodies, but not so much eating them. So they began to box up and deliver care packages to the local firehouse on Christmas Eve. Soon this tradition expanded to include the police and EMTs. When they discovered that these public servants were already being provided for by community donations, the two got really creative. They thought about who might be working on Christmas Eve outside of emergency services and began to visit open businesses like gas stations or local motels. What they found were hard-working individuals at thankless jobs, working late hours, and most often taken for granted. These employees were overwhelmed by the generosity. And Tim suggests that we use their experience as an example, but there's no need to wait for Christmas to honor these underappreciated workers. Tim said if you really think about it, there are many kinds of different people who are overlooked and could use a little bit of the giving spirit all year.
For example, if you have an annual summer or fall festival in town, maybe you want to distribute some water and goodies or snacks to the volunteers. Or say that it's close to Mother's Day or Valentine's Day. Your local florist might appreciate a thoughtful gift as they have been working hard to provide cheer to others. Now, if you are like Tim and Stacy, and you have your own special smile of joy, you tell Jack, and he'll tell me, and we'll help spread your arms around the world.
Well, I want to start by saying thanks to Timothy Lewis for sending that one in. That's nice, isn't it? You know, think about the unsung heroes instead of just the sung heroes. So yeah, that's a really nice one. Thanks for sending that in, Timothy. Like Bob said, if you've got any ideas of a great way to spread some joy, send them in. I'll pass them on to Bob. In the meantime, why don't you go and check out Bob's podcast? I've never told you this before. It's a bit of a secret. His podcast is called Festive Foreign Film Fans, and it's a podcast where Bob talks about festive foreign films with his mate Mark. I listen every episode. The latest episode's just come out, so check that out. I don't think I've got anything else to say on the matter, so listen to that. And now, listen to this. Boys and girls, this is the third and final part of my fantastic interview with Adam Parker, in which we discuss Christmas in the UK. So, yeah, have a listen. Have you ever been to Midnight Mass?
No. Once, when I was drunk coming back from the pub, I decided to go. There's a church right by my house where I grew up, and we were never religious. My family were never religious at all. You know, I'd go to school services and stuff, but that was it. But, and this church next to our house, we used to use those like an annex space that you could rent out, and we'd use that for like parties and stuff growing up. And it was like, I think my mom knew one of the vicars there, and they're all really nice, but we never went to church. But one night coming back, I think I must have been about 21, 22, and I was very full of cider and merriment, and Midnight Mass was in full swing. And it was me and my friend who was sort of, I think they were walking by with me back to my, they lived near me, near my parents, their parents did. And I just felt, I was like, I want to go see what it's like. I want to go see what Midnight Mass is like. My friend was like, no, we're going to cause a fuss. So I ignored him and snuck in the back. And they were in full song singing something. So thankfully, I could kind of just sneak in and take a pew near the back. And it was like, I only stayed there for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I got a bit overwhelmed and felt a little bit sick and had to leave. But it was sort of beautiful and overwhelming in a way, especially because I came in during this choir choral song singing. And then the priest did a little bit of talking, and then, or the vicar, sorry, and then they started singing again. And the singing did make me go a bit wobbly emotionally, because something about it, you know, it must have been about 12:45. I was, as I said, a little bit wobbly wibbly anyway. And then this beautiful singing with the whole church, it did make me go a little bit emotional and then feel a bit sick. But that wasn't the church, I don't think.
No.
But that's the only time I've ever been. And I think I made a bit of a kerfuffle getting out as well, because I couldn't open the door properly. So I was sort of banging on the, trying to push the door. I think I tried to push it a pull, and then I tried to pull it and kind of squeaked the door open, as like there was a quiet, the song had just ended, and the people on the back rows all sort of turned to see this drunk 21-year-old stumble out of the church.
You know, I don't know if I've ever been, but I think I went once. But because I'd be so pissed on Christmas Eve, like the states I'd get in, I may well have gone. Part of me feels like I have been, but I don't know if I have. But I remember one year, and I can't remember where we were, but a lot of girls that we were friends with were going to Midnight Mass. And the thing with me is, if there's girls going somewhere, well, I want to go there. Not so much these days. I'm a happily married man. But back then, and I've got a feeling I might have gone then and just hung around, like, just, I don't know, trying to pull one of these girls at Midnight Mass, which is the best place to go. I remember I worked in a pub for a couple of years, and a lot of people went to Midnight Mass then, because the pub was walking distance from the church.
Yeah,
and a lot of people went, but I think I had to stick around because it was like a late night in the pub, and so I couldn't leave, you know, until we'd all tidied up and that. So I don't think that happened there. Yeah, so I don't know if I've ever been or not. I've just got sort of like some weird memory of me being drunk and sweaty in a church.
Sounds similar to mine, really.
Yeah, it could have been my wedding day, though, so I don't know. No, so I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to think I've been, but, you know, I live opposite a church now, but they don't do Midnight Mass there. So, yeah. I'm just trying to think what else we need to discuss that people, you know, can get an insight into what Christmas is like in the UK.
Yeah, British Christmas.
We've covered a lot of it, though, I think. The mainstays, you know, the food. Yeah. The music. Of course.
Music is something. Yeah, yeah. I was going to mention that earlier, and then we jumped into TV, and I forgot, I think.
Music is a very interesting one. Like, every year since I started the show, I think four times I've done it now, I've had Scott Newman, our US correspondent, yeah, on. And one year he had his partner from Jingle Jank Jay. And last year I was blessed with Dwayne from Tinsel Tunes, because obviously Scott and him host Tinsel Tunes. And I play him Christmas songs that are big in the UK. I had a big old list of songs that I thought he may or may not have heard of. And I was amazed at how few he had actually heard of.
Yeah.
Particularly, I'd say the two that are proper classics that I would have liked to have thought would make it overseas were I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day and Merry Christmas Everybody by
those there's such standards here. They are the epitome of a Christmas song. Like, when I think of a Christmas song in my head, those two, that glam rock sound and the look of them, even in a way, like, I could picture the whole video to that, to both of those songs really in my head, and just, they are Christmas over here, which they're not anywhere else at all.
No, I'm not sure about maybe Australia, I think, maybe, or or New Zealand, maybe. I don't know. I think they sort of might have crossed over a little bit, but glam rock was quite a British thing anyway, really.
Yeah.
I don't think it travelled well. But those songs are 50 years old now, but they they still make the writers a fortune every year because they get played so much. It's ridiculous. What other songs would you say are particular Brit standards that you love?
Driving Home for Christmas.
Of course, that's on your theme tune, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Got to have that on, and I've got to have it on when I'm driving to my parents for Christmas. If it's not on, it's almost like bad luck, I feel like, for that not to be on the playlist. I was saying to my wife actually the other day, and I might be doing something for Tim Babb on the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, talking about British Christmas songs that aren't actually about Christmas in any way. Because Stay Another Day is sort of a staple over here that I really like that song growing up. It's one of my sister's favorite bands as well. She loved E17. And nothing to do with Christmas. It's a Christmas song. It's on at Christmas, every single Christmas. It's on every Christmas CD and playlist and radio station over in the UK. But what's it got to do with Christmas? Stay Another Day.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
And when you hear that, it is a real Christmas song. You never hear it any other time of the year.
No.
The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. That was released at Christmas, and the video for it is the Nativity.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was the Christmas number one. It definitely got to number one. I think it might have been Christmas number one. When I played that for Scott on my show, I got an email from a listener in Australia, Rachel Paul. And she said that they'd hear that any time of year. So it's like a song was popular in Australia.
Yeah, but not popular Christmas.
As a Christmas song, despite the video being a Christmas video. But then they don't mention Christmas at any point in the song, do they?
No, not at all.
What other songs?
Cliff Richard, Mistletoe and Wine. Is that big anywhere else? I'm not sure if that is big anywhere else. I don't think it is.
No, do you know it's from a musical? Did you know that?
I think I read that because I did an episode on it a while ago, and I think I was surprised when I read that it was from a musical originally.
Yeah, because Cliff's had two Christmas ones.
Yeah.
I think one thing that surprised me was I knew that Do They Know It's Christmas was a big hit throughout the world, but what I didn't know was that it was only the first one, and we've had, four versions,
I think?
Now,
I think it is. I think it's Band-Aid 2, Band-Aid 20.
Band-Aid 30,
Band-Aid 30, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll do Band-Aid 40 this year, then.
You're going to say, I haven't heard any rumblings about it. Maybe we will in summer.
Well, didn't hear much about it, because Band-Aid 30 was, they changed the lyrics, didn't they, for the Ebola crisis. And that song, I don't think it got, and it was big artists. Like, they had Seal on there, they had Bono again.
I think Ed Sheeran was on there, was he, I think?
Who, sorry? Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran on there.
Oh, I'm not sure. You don't hear that one much at all, do you?
No.
That's the one you hear the least. You
never hear it.
Band-Aid 2 you'll hear occasionally, and Band-Aid 20 you might hear as well.
Yeah, I've heard it on Christmas radio a few times, that one, definitely, in the last couple of years.
But it really surprised me that there's only one version that gets played around. Mind you, it's only one version that we really hear much in the UK, but I'm surprised that the others never made it overseas.
Never had a splash, Shaken Stevens, the other one as well, that I
went
on Jerry's podcast and did that Merry Christmas Everybody. And again, he'd heard of it a bit, and he said it's something that some Americans might have heard it. It's not completely, oblivious, but it's not a staple. It's not a standard over there. It's not something they'd hear often, but you definitely do over here.
Yeah, yeah, that's the, I'd almost put that up there. Not quite as the same as the Slade and the Wizard. No. Means the Christmas Every Day and Merry Christmas, which is his is Merry Christmas Everyone, isn't it? And yeah. Slade is Merry Christmas Everyone, Everybody.
And Slade is yeah. Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that is a big one, actually. Shakin' Stevens, in the 80s, he was massive, late 70s, early 80s, he was massive in the UK, had loads of number ones, but he'd sing 50s sort of rock and roll songs.
Yeah, yeah, it was old school, yeah. Sort of nostalgic sound he had.
That's it, yeah. Which is funny that it's nostalgic, but you think he was singing songs in the 70s from the 50s.
Yeah.
That's only 20-odd years. And you think, well, 20-odd years ago would be the 90s. So if I went out and started singing Oasis songs, that would be nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where that time went. Yeah, I'm just trying to think what other, because I know there was, I played loads of songs for Scott, and he was always saying, are you sure this is big in the UK? This is a big, you'll hear this. Anywhere you go, you'll hear this. Yeah, the Chris de Burgh one, the Spaceman.
Yeah, Came Spaceman Came Traveling. Yeah.
Do you know what? I wish I had the list of all the ones that are big in the UK. That actually the Leona Lewis one, which is still nearly 10 years old.
Yeah,
that gets decent airplay every year, and that had actually crossed over a little bit to the States, but not quite to the level that we'd get it here in the UK. But I know Scott and Jay were familiar with that. I know Leona Lewis had a bit of success in the States.
But not as much as over here, I don't think.
No, not at all. No, she did have a number one over there, but I think that was pretty much it, yeah. I'm
trying to think what else I had on my list. But again, there's lots of sort of ones that I think are sort of minor hits over here, things like A Winter's Tale.
Do you know what? I covered that in my first episode. I love A Winter's Tale.
Yeah. I really like that song, really like that song. It's a beautiful song.
I particularly liked it as a kid, yeah, when I was young. I was lovesick teenager. I used to love hearing that. That's David Essex, by the way. If you've never heard it, kids, listen to the first ever episode of my podcast. It's very well made. Not the song, my podcast.
A couple of like slightly modern ones. The Darkness.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, that's massive still. Yeah,
it's huge still. It's
still, that's 20 years old or more.
Yeah,
yeah. But the Darkness, Don't Let the Bells End. Is that
Don't Let the Christmas Time. Don't Let the Bells End. Another throwback sound as well there.
Yeah.
And Coldplay, Christmas Lights, I think, as well, is becoming more, you know, maybe not a standard, but it's definitely heard. I've heard it quite a lot over here, that one.
Yeah, that's one that Scott had heard, though, Christmas Lights. He knew that one. That had done okay over in the States.
But Coldplay is just so big, generally.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, here we go. Here's one. This is one of my favourites. I know it's my dad's favourite Christmas song. I Believe in Father Christmas.
Ah, Greg Lake.
Greg Lake, yeah.
Yeah, that was a massive beautiful one. Song. I was really surprised they didn't know that. And they didn't know the musical bit from Troika that goes, here you go, kids. Now that song in the UK, if you hear that, you think of Christmas.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's because it's part of that single, but you can also hear that tune on its own as well. And I suppose it was an early sample, as you'd call it. But yeah, that was a massive, massive hit. And we do hear it every year. Yeah. And he refers to Father Christmas as Father Christmas rather than Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah. Oh, Lonely This Christmas as well.
Mud, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, another glam rock. Yeah.
And that was number one when I was born as well.
Oh, really?
That's one of my favourites. It used to possibly be my favourite Christmas song, but sort of, I think it's been a bit overplayed and I've lost interest in it a bit. But I'll always sing along. I'll always sing along when I hear it.
Yeah, another Christmas song that I think it's become bigger in the last few years here in the UK is Thank God It's Christmas by Queen.
Yeah, I think that might have made it overseas as well, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Because they've got two, haven't they? They've also got a version of, well, the one that's called A Winter's Tale.
Yeah, yeah. Which
I don't think you hear quite as much.
No, you don't. Christmas. No.
Yeah, that is another one. Yeah. I mean, Queen were massive.
They were huge, yeah.
Have
one
big Christmas one, wouldn't you?
I feel like that song wasn't a big one when I was little. I remember it being around, but I think I hear it more now than I used to on, like, Christmas radio and stuff, that Queen song.
Yeah, it's grown, definitely. Yeah, there's a couple like that have done that. Because I think The Power of Love, I wasn't really aware of The Power of Love when I was a kid, which is weird. It was a Christmas number one.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, I remember sort of becoming more aware of it. Like in sort of the 90s, I think, is when I started noticing it. Yeah.
And Fairy Tale of New York as well. That's, we haven't mentioned that yet. But
no, that's...
I think weird community, like weird parts of, not weird parts, I shouldn't say weird, that's horrible. Parts of America, I think that has a bit of a
It's crossed over, definitely. Yeah. But I don't think, not to the extent in the UK where it's massive.
That's huge.
Frequently voted the most popular Christmas song of all time in the UK, yeah.
Yeah. I remember going out when I was younger, it would be the end song of every Christmas. You know, if you went out to a club or a bar or something around Christmas time when I was in my late teens, early 20s, that would be the final song
yeah.
of the night, would be that song, kind of everyone to sing along to before the lights come up and you get kicked out.
It's a powerful song when yeah. you listen to it. I think, sadly, I've listened to it so much now, it's lost a bit of its strength. But in the day, it, you know, when I sort of first started really becoming aware of it, yeah, I loved that song. It's, like I say, really powerful song. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast the other day, Will and Ralph from 2 Pints of Lager. It's, well, it's actually called 2 Pints with Will and Ralph. And they were talking about Christmas. And Ralph, his girlfriend, was from the States. And he was talking about how the songs in the US are so different to the songs in the UK. And he wasn't talking so much about the songs that they don't have. He was talking about the songs that they do have. Now, I did sort of mention to my listeners overseas if they had any songs that they could share that we might not know in the UK. And I did play, I had an episode where a gentleman sent, whoever it was, if you're listening, I'm sorry that I've forgotten who it was. I was sent about 7 or 8 songs and I played them. And I don't think I'd heard of a single one of them. But then a few people from the States emailed me and said, yeah, I'd never heard of any of those either. So, I don't know, because the States is so big.
So big, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I would have thought, because in the UK, a song is a song is a song. We're a small little island.
Yeah.
Whereas in the States, it might be a bit different. But
if it's on the East Coast or the West Coast or in a state, yeah. certain state or, yeah, something like that.
That's it. But then it was funny because Ralph was talking about a couple of American songs that you don't hear in the UK, and he named Feliz Navidad and Mele Kaliki Maka, which are two songs that I'm very familiar with.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't hear them as much in the UK at all.
No.
I definitely know them both.
Yeah, they're well known yeah. enough.
So I would be interested to, actually, I've spent Christmas in New York. I spent a weekend there, and like only 2 weeks before Christmas, and we would have heard a lot of Christmas music. I don't remember being aware of any songs that I didn't know. I don't know. Yeah. Right, is there anything else we need to talk about Christmas in the UK? Actually, maybe we should discuss Father Christmas. So in the UK, he's very, very similar to Santa Claus. I think when you think of Santa Claus and when you think of Father Christmas, do you see anything different in your mind, or do you see them exactly the same?
I think I see Father Christmas as a bit more, I'm not going to say grumpy, but more like, you know, older, more grandfatherly in a way, but more, a bit more wizened. And
yes, goodness me, that's exactly yeah. it. Yes, yeah. A little bit more mystical. Santa,
yeah, exactly. Santa's a bit more a chubby old elf, you know, a jolly, red-cheeked, sort of rosy, happy, smiley
yeah.
character. And I don't know why that difference is in my head, but that's kind of what I see.
I see Santa as more slimmer and with a, sorry, Father Christmas slimmer. I'm like
yeah.
in a robe as opposed to his suit and almost more like a hood than a Santa hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A hood, definitely hooded, is Father Christmas.
If I imagine Father Christmas's face, I can't see a face, but if I imagine, that's maybe I'm getting a bit too deep into it, but that's sort of how it feels.
Yeah.
But if I say Santa, I imagine, like you say, a jovial, open face. There he is, possibly the just like the Coca-Cola Santa.
Yeah.
That's the sort of picture that comes up in my mind. But it's very strange that I'll be talking about the same person. You know, if I say Santa, I mean Father Christmas. If I say Father Christmas, I mean Santa. It's just like, you know, my kids call me Dad and my wife calls me Jack. It's still the same thing. But it's interesting that you have that. Yeah, it's interesting. And you're not the first person that said that, but you really put it succinctly. Someone else has said similar things, even though they are exactly the same. It is just one person, but with two different... Yeah,
I think as well, the Raymond Briggs Father Christmas, kind of, in my head, that's Father Christmas. You wouldn't get Santa acting like the Father Christmas in the Raymond Briggs one, where he's a bit moany and grumpy and, like, you know, obviously it's sort of for comedic effect in that particular book and special, but he's, you know, oh, bloody old Christmas, or like, you know, kind of having a bit of a groan and a moan, as well as then being, you know, when it comes to it, he is giving out presents, talking about how he loves Christmas, but
yeah,
he's moaning and groaning. Santa doesn't moan and groan, I don't think, but Father Christmas is almost,
yeah, but then that's not that. The Father Christmas in Raymond Briggs is funny because he's nothing like the Father Christmas that we were talking about in the robe. And
not the, really, no, not the looks. Yeah, more the attitude, it's funny. I think.
Yeah, but you're right. That's interesting. Yeah, that's fantastic. If you haven't watched Raymond Briggs's Father Christmas, I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. I'm not 100% on that, though. I think you can watch it in chunks if you can't watch the whole thing in one go. Definitely check it out, boys and girls. Do you know, this Christmas Eve, we always go to the theatre every year, and yeah. we always go to this local theatre, but the shows they put on are for very young kid. So it's probably the last year we're going to go to that theatre on Christmas Eve, because Robin's definitely getting too old for it, I'd say. But they did a version of Father Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. Like, I found out it was going to be on the previous Christmas Eve when we were seeing the show they had that year. And it was a shame because they'd watered it down a bit. And although it was a bit grumpy, it wasn't, it's hard to explain. It wasn't as rough and ready. It was a lot slower.
Yeah.
It's for very young kids. So it wasn't, it was, yeah. It was, you know, it was, the kids enjoyed it. It was nice, but it just wasn't as good as the cartoon anyway.
No. I think the cartoon has a bit of an edge almost to it.
You know, it? I was going to say an edge, yeah, but you're right.
But
yeah.
It has an edge in some of the content and the, just, you know, some of the things that happen in the special. I remember sort of he goes to Vegas and I'm sure there's some glamorous girls at some point and diarrhea and, you know, things like that. That
yeah. Yeah, great cartoon. Great cartoon. Great book as well. Yeah. One thing before we go, we've got to talk about this, not overseas, is Christmas crackers. I did send some out, actually, to a couple of listeners over the years. I've done that just so they get to have a go with Christmas crackers. You have Christmas crackers?
Every year. Go have Christmas crackers on the table. I'm pretty sure one year when I went to my in-laws, I'm not sure if they had any. Well, they didn't have them out. And I was a bit like, where's the Christmas crackers to my wife? Like, it might have been one of the first years we went around to the in-laws and thinking, oh, is this going to be, they're just no Christmas crackers. Oh, I wasn't going to cause a fuss, but I was just a bit, where are they on the prepared table? And then she asked her mom and they were just in a drawer. They just forgot to put them out. So Christmas was saved that year. But yeah, always have Christmas crackers. Again, they're just a little silly, fun activity to do with your family on Christmas Day that can lead to 5 minutes of fun and then half an hour of wearing a crown on your head before it tears or everyone takes it off apart from you.
Yes, I'm the same. I'd always keep mine on. I'd always turn up on Christmas Day around my folks with a Christmas hat on, like a Santa.
Yeah.
And then I'd take that off, obviously, because I've gone inside. But then I wouldn't. I'd keep it on, I think, until we sat down to dinner. And then the cracker hat would go on, the old paper crown. And it used to annoy me that some people wouldn't even make it through dinner.
They
just took it off. And I think at least bloody leave it on for dinner. It's tradition.
The dinner table decoration, the hats included.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever had anything particularly good out of a cracker. I remember my mum making them one year and the stuff she put in was okay. But because she made them herself, they weren't serrated, so they didn't pull apart properly. So you just sort of want to rip them a bit.
And it just tears.
Yeah, pretty much. But I've always loved crackers, but the stuff you get in them, the jokes of everyone's heard.
Yeah.
The hat. Maybe it's just the hat. Maybe I just like them for the hat. They wear a crown.
The hat is the important bit. The bang and the hat. They're the
bang and the hat. Important bits. That's it. Yeah. I mean, you can buy ridiculously expensive ones if you want, you know. But I tell you what, I think I talked about this on the show. So Tesco's, which I frequently talk about on the show, this year, pretty much all their crackers were completely, not biodegradable, but recyclable.
Yeah, I remember you said that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but what was great is, in your cracker, you'd get a joke, you'd get a hat, important. You'd also get this a game card. So it'd be like a mix of maybe charades, so you'd have like, or charades.
Yeah.
So you'd have a charade you had to do, or Pictionary, so you might have a word and you had to draw. You'd need a pad and paper for that to do that. But I'm trying to remember what the others were, but there was other things. It's like other little games, that we're all familiar with, like Pictionary, like charades, the Taboo, you know, where you're not allowed to say
certain things. Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic. Problem you've got is, you pull your cracker, you put your hat on, now it's time to eat, you tell your jokes. Then you don't want the food to get cold.
No.
At the same time, maybe after you've eaten, then get the cards out and everyone goes around the table. I thought it was a great idea.
An activity.
Yeah, well, you're going to get a damn sight more time out of that than you are at some plastic piece of crap. I mean, some of it might be all right. Like you'd get like what wasn't crap. Maybe a mini tape measure. Is that any good? I don't know.
Nail clippers.
Nail clippers, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to clip my nails on the table, though, am I?
A
key ring you might get, stuff like that,
yeah.
A metal golf tee, because I love golf, never played. I remember when I worked in this restaurant, and I was there one Christmas, and their crackers were complete shit. And I don't use that word lightly, boys and girls. It was just a piece of plastic, a very small piece of plastic, not much bigger than your fingernail, maybe two fingernails put together. And it might be like a motorbike or a plane
Yeah.
Or, I'm trying to think what it was, but they were super cheap. And the thing is, I mean, it's just tat. But like to print up a card that Tesco's are doing, it's probably cheaper. I don't know if it's cheaper. It's probably cheaper.
I assume so, yeah.
And it's a brilliant idea. I thought it was fantastic. And I think everyone should do that in their crackers now. I think you get more fun out of them. And it's also better for the environment.
So yeah, definitely.
That's my take on crackers. But I'm glad you're a hat wearer. It always annoys me when people... And what's always cool is if you go in a mate's house in the evening, obviously I've taken it off by then, like, you know, someone might be sat still with their hat on. You think, good for you. Good for you. Keeping the spirit alive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Crackers are a staple, and it's great that this is one of those things that we know they're crap, but you wouldn't have it any other way. And
no,
that's British Christmas, isn't it? Well, I think we're done. Anything else you can think of that needs to be shared?
Nothing off the top of my head.
I can't think of anything else that's not, like, you know, popular overseas. So.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of just is elsewhere now.
I think we've covered most things, and if we haven't covered it, then I'll get you on again.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Next year, maybe later this year, and we can cover the bits we've missed.
Pick up any bits.
Yeah, or just repeat the same stuff we've talked about. No one listens to my show anyway, so won't make a lot of
fresh again. Yeah.
While you're here, Adam, you better plug the old show. I'm sure everyone's familiar with it because, like I've said before, and I'll say again, I plug it every episode. It comes out monthly, and it's called Merry Britsmas. Tell us all about it, Adam.
Yep. So my podcast is called Merry Britsmas, and it's all about anything to do with a British Christmas celebration. So a lot of the stuff we talked about today, in each episode, I try to focus on a episode or a special that is British and set at Christmas, a song, a British Christmas song, or covers as well, British Christmas covers, and then something to do with maybe a British Christmas tradition or a bit of history. So it's a bit educational, a bit silly, a bit informative, hopefully maybe opens your eyes to a bit of British Christmas if you're not British, or makes you feel quite nostalgic if you are British. And you can find it on any good podcast app. It's on Spotify now as well. So, and you can follow me. I have an Instagram, I have Facebook, I even have whatever Twitter is called, X now. It's just Merry Britsmas on all of those.
There we go, boys and girls. I listen every episode, and I hope you do too. Thanks for coming on, Adam. It's been blinding. This has been a long one, hasn't it? Goodness me.
It has.
Yes.
A good old British chin wag.
And this ain't the end of it, kids, because he's going to be coming on next week with the quiz, and the week after that he's going to be doing something as well. So you haven't seen the last of young Adam. Thanks again, Adam.
And no worries. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers. So that was the end of the interview. That ran for 3 episodes, that did, boys and girls. I hope you enjoyed it. I love chatting to Adam. We had a really good chat. It was a great time. And hopefully he's going to come on again and we'll do a similar thing if we've got anything else to chat about Christmas in the UK wise. I would plug his podcast, but he just did a much better job of it than I'd ever do. So I'll just say thanks again for being on the show, Adam. And now we're doing this. This episode's recommendation is a podcast called Chatterbix. Now, a couple of years ago, I'll say a couple of years, could have been more, I recommended a podcast called Gossip Mongers, pretty much my favourite podcast. They've stopped making that now, the two chaps that presented it. Their names are Joe Wilkinson and David Earl. Now, if you're based in the UK, even if you don't know their names, you definitely recognise their faces. They are two comedians, and their podcast Chatterbix, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just read out the blurb for you. It says, comedians Joe Wilkinson and David Earl chat utter drivel to each other 3 days a week. Unlike me, I chat utter drivel once a fortnight. It continues, they natter to celebrities and deep dive into guests with interesting lives, as theirs are so boring. Occasionally, they plan a surprise for each other to pep it up a bit. David loves hearing about behind-the-scenes stuff from TV shows and writing jingles. Joe likes adventuring and is obsessed with the podcast charts. Sometimes they'll embark on a day out podding together just so they can get out of the house. It's a brilliantly chaotic podcast which occasionally covers regular topics like TV reviews, snooker, canal boating, and music. And it's just drivel, really. It's just two blokes chatting. Sometimes the sound quality is awful, but I really enjoy it. They do it 3 days a week. I think when they started it, it was actually daily, and then they sort of cut back. And they've just passed episode 400. So yeah, it's been going strong and it's very funny in places. So you might want to give it a listen. You might not, I don't care. It's up to you. Anyway, it's called Chatterbix and it's with David Earl and Joe Wilkinson. That's my podcast recommendation. I've been binging it and I've been really enjoying it. And I hope you do too. is it for this episode. Yeah, that's it. I'm finished. I'm out of here. Yeah, I've got all my stuff together. I've cleared my desk. I'm good to go. So if you want to get in touch, you can email me. It's totalchristmas@gmail.com. Or you can go on the website, which I haven't updated in probably more than 3 years now. And that is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. You know it. You know I love you. So merry, happy Christmas.
You don't work for Nakatomi. And if you're not one of them...
I'm a cop from New York.
New York?
Yeah. Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?